This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavuot Tov. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavuot Tov. Well, we're still following the events from Thursday night. We didn't have much of an opportunity to talk about the terror attack that took place in Tel Aviv on Thursday evening. At least I didn't have a chance to make any comment about it. As far as we know at the moment, those three people who were injured still remain injured. I don't have much of an update regarding their current situation, but for those people who've had an opportunity to see the video that's been released online showing the gunmen approaching three guys from the back and literally shooting them almost at point-blank range, it's really, really scary to see exactly how these people operate. The gunmen apparently illegally in Israel, and the security forces have said they understand how he managed to gain access into Israel. A person who was previously held in an Israeli jail, Hamas have come out laying claim to him as an operative, so there can be little doubt that this was indeed a terror attack. Fortunately, the security forces on the ground on the corner of Ben Gurion and Dizengoff streets in the central part of Tel Aviv on a Thursday night, which of course is a weekend night. The video shows young families, people out and about in the cafe on the corner of that street. There can be little doubt that that was a terror attack. And fortunately, the security personnel who were on the scene at that time responded extremely quickly to neutralize him. The terrorist was killed at the location right away. Apparently three or four different security personnel, some of them on duty, some of them off duty, responded to the shooting attack right away. And again, one can see that almost in the video, how quickly people respond as soon as they hear the gunfire. So, of course, we are praying for the safe recovery of those individuals who have been injured. And we hope that we'll be able to secure our streets moving forward, that events like that won't be allowed to take place.
Absolutely right. And of course, there was protests happening as protests were continued on a Saturday evening. So let's talk about that. Hundreds of thousands of Israelis turned out for the 10th consecutive week of protests across the country.
Yeah, so some reports were suggesting that there might have been up to 500,000 people who turned out on Saturday night. I think that may be a little exaggerated, but I think there can be little doubt that there were more than 100,000 people at the demonstration in Tel Aviv, centered up around the area of Kaplan Street, which is where they've been turning out for the last few weeks. And also, apparently, a very large turnout in Haifa. Now, that has not been the case up until now. And for some reason, the popularity of these protests seems to be building gradually rather than decreasing. One might have thought that after 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks that people are coming out onto the streets and protesting, that people get a little tired of it and that it's kind of starts to diminish. But that's really not the case at all. And we're seeing more and more people coming out across Israel, towns and cities across Israel, having their protests in their towns and cities. And of course, centered on Tel Aviv. And, you know, the issue is that with this huge increase in the popularity with more and more people turning up, I think it becomes increasingly difficult for the government to simply ignore it. I think that the government would have hoped that things would have just kind of dissipated. People would have got bored of the idea of turning up every Saturday evening and things would die down. But that's really not the case at all. And quite on the contrary, it seems to be building with more and more people turning up to these demonstrations. And as we discussed last week, it does create a sense of unity amongst those people who are demonstrating. It has also created much controversy surrounding the police treatment of the of the demonstrators, the extent to which Itamar Ben-Gvir, who's in charge of the police at the ministerial level, the extent to which he's getting involved, a number of different controversies surrounding that. But there's no doubt that these demonstrations are really beginning to ask our government some quite serious and difficult questions about what's going on right now in the government.
Is there any sign that there a compromise can be reached?
Well, at one stage, I was particularly optimistic with the president being involved, and he indicated on a few occasions that a compromise was only just a step away. His latest statement was that these judicial reforms need to be ditched completely. So from that statement, I was just wondering whether he had kind of become a little bit negative or lost his enthusiasm for the possibility of a compromise solution being reached. But there is certainly a compromise there to be made. There is certainly a deal to be done between the opposition and the government. And it's a little disappointing that for some reason that ultimate compromise, the magical solution, can't seem to be reached and to be agreed upon by the various parties. So I'm not really sure where we stand right now. The president seems to have stepped back a little bit, and it will be interesting to see whether he makes any statements this week about any further developments and any progress towards compromise. But I feel a little more negative about a possibility of a compromise than I did, let's say, a week or two ago. But we'll see what the president has to say, because I feel sure that he is really the answer to reaching a compromise on this matter.
Absolutely right. It was announced that Saudi Arabia has renewed its diplomatic relations with Iran, and that deal was brokered by China. What impact does this have on Israel?
Well, I think it has impact in a number of different ways. Let's start with the fact that the Prime Minister seemed to be really building much of the success of his current term in office on the reaching of an agreement of diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia. He said that on a few occasions, and there seemed to be quite a lot of effort that he was putting in to becoming the hero in terms of reaching diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia. That all seems to have dropped right out from underneath him. And of course, there were some recriminations last week when this was announced. Former Prime Minister Yair Lapid came out critical of Netanyahu. Netanyahu in turn said, well, really, the agreement that was announced last week between Saudi Arabia and Iran was really an agreement that was done during Lapid's time as Prime Minister, and so therefore the blame for this really rests with him. But to be honest, I think that a lot of it also rests with the United States, because it's interesting that Saudi Arabia, which has traditionally had a relatively good and quite close relationship with the United States, has now chosen to take the path of China and be led by China into achieving diplomatic relations with Iran. For Israel, this is quite a serious moment, because the idea that Saudi Arabia had this conflict with Iran was extremely helpful to Israel. First of all, because if Israel wishes to reach Iran and attack any of the nuclear facilities in Iran, then Israel will need to overfly Saudi Arabia in order to make that achievable. And it seems as if though Israel had at least as a minimum agreed with Saudi Arabia that it would allow not only overfly rights for its commercial airlines, but also potentially overfly rights for military air force planes to be able to attack Iran. It's unclear what the status of those overfly rights are right now. And so whether Saudi Arabia has said, look, we are choosing Iran instead of Israel. And I don't know that there is any way that Saudi Arabia can be on both sides of this particular discussion. I think it would be very, very difficult to see how Saudi Arabia can play friends with Israel as well as with Iran, particularly where this conflict is concerned. There is no doubt that Saudi Arabia felt extremely threatened by Iran. and its nuclear facility. And this is, in a way, what pushed Saudi Arabia towards Israel, towards befriending Israel. But that seems to have now been kind of pushed away. The most serious concern that I have for Israel is the fact that the Iranian economy may well be revitalized as part of this new relationship or the renewed relationship with Saudi Arabia. We already saw an impact on the Iranian economy with the Iranian rial strengthening substantially. The Iranian rial had reached a value of something like 600,000 rial to the US dollar. And the latest that I saw was 450,000 rial to the US dollar. So that's a substantial strengthening of the Iranian currency arising from this renewed relationship with Saudi Arabia. So I think there are a number of different aspects that are of concern to Israel in this particular arena. And I think only time will tell as to how all of this really pans out.
And the impact on the United States is significant as well, because this also doesn't suit, as much as it doesn't suit Israel, it certainly doesn't suit the United States.
I agree with that. And I think that not only have we seen Saudi Arabia becoming closer to Iran, but clearly Saudi Arabia becoming closer to China. And that really is a completely separate axis. We currently now see a sort of Iran, China, Russia kind of axis forming, which is in opposition to the U.S. Countries which are allied to the countries which are allied to the United States as part of that particular axis. So as so long as Saudi Arabia is now joining the China axis, that must be of concern to the United States.
We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to talk about this. It remains unclear what the extent of the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank will impact Israel's economy. This has been quite a concern for me over the weekend as I watched this, because one thing Israel doesn't need is something to unnerve the tech sector.
Oh, well, that's for sure. And just for people who are not familiar with Silicon Valley Bank, it's a West Coast, U.S. West Coast-based bank that has traditionally served the high-tech sector and the private equity markets, and has had excellent products and service to that particular sector. And as a result of that, many Israeli companies, high-tech companies, Israeli private equity funds been involved with Silicon Valley Bank, have deposited their money with Silicon Valley Bank, have received lines of credit from Silicon Valley Bank. The collapse on Thursday and Friday was dramatic. There are Israeli companies whose money has been caught up with Silicon Valley Bank. Balances of up to $250,000 have been guaranteed by the FDIC, but anything beyond that is up for discussion and subject to whatever happens with the assets of Silicon Valley Bank. And there is no doubt that a number of Israeli companies have been caught out with their money at the bank and will lose at least some of their funds that were deposited at the bank. But I think more importantly, many of the companies that had a very accessible line of credit from the bank will now have to find alternative sources of credit facility in order to keep their operations going. So, of course, the stock exchange yesterday in Israel did drop as a result of the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. And it's not clear exactly to what extent that will have a further impact on the Israeli economy. Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich, who's been in Washington to address the conference of Israel bonds, has said that the government will help those companies that have been affected by Silicon Valley Bank. And it's ironic that some of the companies in Israel had moved their funds from Israeli banks into offshore banks such as Silicon Valley Bank because of some of the instability in Israel. And it's not clear to what extent some of those companies have been caught out.
That is very, very scary. It is 8 o'clock, Anthony Reich. Thank you as always. We won't chat to you tomorrow, will we? You'll be traveling
tomorrow, but I will be back on Wednesday.
We'll
with you
speak
as usual.
To you on Wednesday. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.